Good afternoon. In addition to a few technical details that we've been working out, we also we were going to come on today to make the announcement that we're not having a live show this afternoon because Sherry's traveling and won't be able to be with here with us to facilitate. We had a few technical details in coming on the show on time to let you know that. So a few things happening today. But Michael, I think you did have some announcements before we turn it over. I think what we're going to do is to play an archive that you picked out. And I think you're going to do some announcements before playing that archive.
Yes. So I'll go through.
And, you know, yes, exactly. One thing I just wanted to say, Michael, is an encouragement to folks. You know, you've set aside the time to listen to the show, and I just was thinking how we so often hear that testimonial from folks that, you know, you turn on, you go to the archives of Open Air, and just the right one, you know, is played for you. So it might be fun to stay tuned, listen, and see if that's the case tonight.
Yes, yes, great. So today's announcements. A new group coaching opportunity will be starting up in September. That's Conversations with the Mentor beginning September 21st. And these weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment.
And you know, what occurs to me is not only support for all of that, support for the thing that Sherry is always encouraging us with, which is get out of the conversation with conditioned mind. So it gives us a different conversation to be in. Yeah.
Yeah, much better one.
A much better one, yeah.
Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And a new quarter begins October 15th.
Fun.
Yes. And join Sherry for a fun and interactive workshop debunking the extremely popular and age-old myth of too busy, not enough time. This workshop will be held Saturday, October 22nd at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
That's fun, right at the end of Bridgewalk season, we get that boost.
Yes.
And I guess we can't really use the excuse that we don't have time to go to that workshop, I guess, huh?
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. And accept the Empty Teacup Challenge and catch conditioning in the act of bamboozling. This challenge runs now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 15th. Record how many bamboozles you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
Excellent.
Yes. And if you are precepted, stay on after the bridge walk for the two-day precepts renewal retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California.
Which, as everyone who's done that knows, that's a really, really special time. Yep.
Yes, yes. And for these and all other practice opportunities, go to livingcompassion.org. And finally, a reminder that we are on bamboozle number 9, Illusion of Separation, and the assignment for week 1.
So fun. And Michael, can I make one more plug? Reminded
Please.
Me when you were talking about Namaste and how quickly the bridge walk is coming up, that I have seen the T-shirt design. And I'm not going to say anything else about it because I'm sure we'll be talking about it on Good News Update soon, but it is beautiful, really fun, celebrating the 15th anniversary of the Bridge Walk, and, you know, have a little dream of what if everyone in the Sangha had one of those T-shirts. So be sure to hop on the website and sign up. The deadline is approaching. We'll be giving much more information about that. We won't sneak up on you and just suddenly close the registration for T-shirts, but it is coming up, so an encouragement to folks to hop on there and sign up to register, even if you can't come, you know, even if you can't be with us. If you register and you can't be with us, you still get the t-shirt. So it's a really fun way to support the project, even if you're not able to be physically with us, even though that would be our first choice.
Yes, and why wait? It's a great project. It's
exactly.
A great t-shirt. It's a win-win
yep.
situation.
It is. It is. Yep.
Wonderful. And so I think
All right.
we are complete with Jen. And as you said, we're going to play an archive show today because Sherry's not here. And your encouragement to listen to the archive and find just that nugget of information we've been looking for.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thanks for being
Thank
there,
you,
Michael. All
Thank
right.
You.
Talk to
Good.
You next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I'm not sure I can do the show today because I need to be working on my participation point.
I was just, as I was listening, I was cruising around through all of that and thinking, let's see now. I'm glad they're going to help me with the math because I want to do that so much point. And then, yeah, it's really, really, really fun.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
That is so fun. I was doing the same thing. I was cruising around, and then I realized, oh, wait, I got to do something here for the radio show.
Oh, dear.
Just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so inclusive. That is what I love about practice.
Yes, me too. Yeah, me too. It in fact, tomorrow morning I have my time set aside to do a little blog on this on participation, kind of just talking about some of the things that have been happening for us close to home. What we're all left with is, God, it's fun to participate with Sangha. And so now with this opportunity, I mean, it doesn't matter where anybody is in the world. You know, we're all doing this together, and that's the thing that we love best.
It's really great. It's really great. I can see I'm going to spend a lot of time at that website there.
Right.
Getting my points.
Yeah.
And when I saw those stories about Rico and the kid, I almost burst into tears. It's so
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's such a great one because oftentimes we can get stumped about, well, what should I do? And if it's something that you already do or something that you love to do, but you can do it with this little twist of supporting the work in Africa, then it's just, again, everybody wins.
Yes. Practice seems like it's always a win-win-win.
Yeah. Yes, it is, which is, again, something that's kind of important to us because people think spiritual practice is, course, conditioning. You know, this is conditioning conversation. You're just going to have to give up everything that's fun, and you never get to do anything good, and you never, you know, that your social life is just gone, and how are you ever going to get what you want? And actually, I'm convinced that we have more fun. As a Sangha, we have more fun than just about anybody on earth.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. And especially, Dave is right, I can't believe those children can grin that hard and not hurt themselves. Then there's the rest of it, you know. It's that we get to do all of this for such a great cause.
Yes, indeed. We are very blessed. Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
You will be at Namaste in Felton, California, the end of July 29th and 30th for What Do Power, Success, and Fun Have in Common? Which is a fundraiser for, as we've been talking about, the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
I have to find out if we get points for that.
You know, I think I saw it on there.
Oh, is that right?
Something about Namaste.
Oh, very, very good.
Yes. And then on Saturday, August 6th, you'll be in Edmonds, Washington, which is Seattle, talking about connecting to your inner wisdom. And then the following weekend, August 12th through 14th, you'll be at Esalen for a weekend workshop, What Do These Questions Have in Common? And if you didn't hear it in the earlier part of the show, it's time to make plans to join Sherry in the month for the 10th annual Bridgewalk and this amazing participation game. Not sure if it has a specific name, but I'll have to go back and look. And what I remember is participation.
Yeah, yeah. I think the participation game would just about get us where we needed to go.
Great, great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And I think we're all set.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
I know this might sound, you know, like I'm making it up, but actually I was thinking about you just yesterday.
Wow.
And thinking that we had not heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I'm actually calling on schedule. I think it's my 5 weeks.
Then I am confused.
Well,
it seemed like much longer than that to me.
Yeah, it's funny because before the time I talked to you was a long time. And you know what's really funny is I was listening to the archives and I heard the show today with me calling in.
Well, good. What's going on?
Oh, well, the last time I called, I was talking about this process that I have that happens at work where I get dissatisfied because karma comes in and compares me to everyone and I don't measure up, and then I get resentful and angry. And, well, you told me to do the 30-day retreat around that.
Ah.
And around finding compassionate self-acceptance. And so I've been doing it and this month. And, well, today I was really practicing like my hair was on fire.
Mm. Yeah, and was that because the karma was really after you?
Yes. Yes. Yesterday was really, really hard. And I just decided I did not want to have another day like yesterday. And what I did differently today was I came in with a will to not let the karma get to me. I meditated at work. I actually went to a special area to meditate for a half hour. I actually listened to my tapes at work. Usually what I do is I listen to my listening practice when I'm walking to work and when I'm leaving work, but there's this huge gap where basically I think what happens is that I give myself permission to go unconscious.
Oh, yeah. Or probably you're not there to say no when conditioning suggests that it would be a good time to go unconscious.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what I was kind of thinking, because yesterday it just felt like there was no one there for me, and I just felt like everybody had left and I was alone with self-hate.
Probably alone and fairly young.
Yeah, and I felt really, really sad and really isolated. And so today what I did is I was a lot more conscious, and I called on the mentor. This morning I listened to 3 different reassurance tapes before I even got up for a half hour.
Wow, good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and then when it really started to hit me during the work day, I just listened to all these tapes. And what's really interesting is I found this one tape that I probably made 2 or 3 years ago, and I didn't even really listen to it. And then I just miraculously found it, and it's this tape that says, I like you. And it's for when I'm identified with being really alone and no one liking me or approving of me. And it was incredible because I found it maybe 2.5 weeks ago, and I listened to it, and it was just what I needed to hear.
Yeah. I love those miracles that happen with some regularity in practice.
Yeah.
Where you hear just the thing you need to hear.
And I don't, this karma, I don't know, you know, it's just so strong. And, you know.
Well, it is. And that's, you know, what you describe is exactly the way it keeps people in bondage. So there's a story that you will believe, right? That
mm-hmm.
you're less than, or people don't like you, or whatever it is that story is. And it starts, conditioning starts the conversation. And that conversation, because it's being spoken to someone who believes it, then that conversation turns the world that's being projected into reality, so that everything looks as if the conversation is true and real, and then the person is sunk.
And you know, that's why today what I decided to do was listening to the tapes, because what happens is that I'll be in work and I'll be projecting all this onto other people that they don't approve of me. And so finally I just took out the tape and just put the iPod on, put the headphones on, and just resisted all that talk that said, oh, you better not do this at work. People might know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. And it's great, isn't it? Because resistance is meant to be in the domain of karmic conditioning. So what it's doing it constantly is resisting life as it is, so that the stories that it's putting forth will continue to seem true, will appear believable. Yeah? So then, now you have tools and techniques to go up against it. And what it says is, oh, no, you shouldn't use those. That you can't do that at work.
Yeah, it's okay to use it when you're not at work, but not.
Yes. And what you've doped out is that's because it's been counting on you being at work as a time that it can take you into unconsciousness. And so, of course, it wants that extended period of time to suck the life force out of you.
If I can't suck the life force out of you when you're not at work, I at least have, you know, 8 to 10 hours where I
yeah.
can.
Yeah, exactly. So then, that's so good, because I've talked to so many people who were really believing a story about, well, I can't listen to this stuff when I'm at work. I mean, what will people say? And then somehow they get the courage to do it, and nobody says anything. Nobody even notices what it is that they're doing. Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, it was telling me yesterday that I should quit, that conditioning is stronger than I am, and that I should just accept the fact that it's going to get me at work, and I might as well just never work again. That's what I was hearing.
What a really good idea. Yeah, it's just filled with wisdom, isn't it?
yeah, and, you know, maybe for a while it wouldn't get me as much, but it would probably find some other way?
Oh, you know it would. First of all, as soon as you quit, it would have an endless list of names to call you for having quit. Yeah? And then it gets to set up what the rest of your life is like, because you cannot go up against karmic conditioning. And so it means this, and this about your life.
It's
about
the ultimate,
who you are.
The ultimate victim story.
Yes, exactly. And you have to stay there for the rest of your life, because what choice do you have? You can't go to work. Yeah. Say, no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah, and if conditioning wins and I can't go up against conditioning, then, you know, then basically, I mean, really the rest of your life is, everything stems from being able to drop it.
Yeah, so what if it could ever convince you that you are weaker than it is, then that's a mighty rugged place to be. And, of course, it is such a lie. because in fact, in truth, in reality, it is not the stronger force. That's why it's working so hard all the time.
I'm so glad that you're saying that, Sherry, because now I have it on tape, and I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, anytime you forget. It is so pathetically powerless compared to the wisdom, love, and compassion that life is. I mean, the only way it can appear to have any power at all is that people get talked into giving all their attention to it. So anything, you know, if conditioning convinces you that the sound of dogs barking is the worst thing in the world, you know, that it's hell, you cannot possibly live a happy life. And I'm not making this up. I have actually talked to people who have these kinds of things going. And you get talked into that and you believe it, then it is going to have you listening around the clock for the sound of dogs barking.
Oh, I totally get what you're saying, because it does that exact same thing. It's not dogs barking. It's that I can't find any quiet anywhere.
Yeah. So it's just scanning,
yeah.
scanning, and all of the attention is going to whatever noise is going on, and that's proof that life is hell and that there's nothing that you – and the whole story that gets laid out.
It's great that you say that, because I was meditating at the special – room at where I work, and they were doing construction today.
Gotta love it.
And now you're talking about that. That's so funny, because yes, it was trying to convince me there was no point in meditating, and I just kept repeatedly dropping it.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So as soon as we get the hang of putting our attention where we want it to be, instead of giving our attention to it's immediately clear that, oh, no, life is much more vast, much more powerful. So that's the importance, of course, of that recording and listening practice, learning to direct the attention, putting the attention on the, you know, the recording that you want to hear, on the choice that you're making, choosing life, and it just that conditioning, we can watch it wither.
And it's so funny you mention that, because conditioning's been trying to use the retreat against me and making me suffer over, oh, I want to go to that retreat so bad, and I can't go this year.
You mean the What You Practice retreat?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do it again in August. If we've had so many students and teachers and people who are only off in the summer that we found dates. So there's going to be a notice that comes out, still time to get your plane ticket.
Well, I will. I don't know if I'll be able to do August because I'm actually teaching that month. But if you have another one, I definitely want to be there.
Okay.
So.
Well, I suspect there will be another one at some point in the future. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Good
Sherry,
to hear from you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
All right.
This is a reminder that today's show is an archive show that we're playing today because Sherry is not available for today's show, and so we will continue with playing the archive of today's show.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and chat on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, stop and breathe. Stop, stop and breathe.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Justin calling.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, it's so good to hear your voice and to hear Jen and Dave's voice. I was actually at the retreat 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Retreat. And I've been working with your work for a couple of years now, but this is the first time I'm able to get out to retreat. And it was just fantastic. I just loved it. So,
oh, good.
It was just so much more than I expected. So just an ad for anyone listening and who hasn't. I mean, I'm sure everyone has, but if you haven't, it was just so life-changing for me.
So let's just stop and take that in since you're giving that great testimonial. So anybody out there who hasn't done the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, you highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Good, good.
So the one thing I did want to talk about since coming back, which for me has been very profound, has been custody of the eyes.
Yes.
And I chatted to Jen about this before I left, you know, when we talk about coming back to your regular life, I guess. And for me, the custody of the eyes initially, I thought it was just a courtesy or just to, you know, polite around the monks. But really, it really profoundly changed the way how I kind of keeping an introspective focus.
Yes. Yes.
And I've carried that through to, you know, everyday life now.
Yes. It's so much easier to have your attention for yourself when your eyes are not scanning constantly for what's going on around you.
Well, and that's what I found. So there's two things. The first, exactly, it's that keeping the focus internally. And then also, I find that it's just so energetically separate. Like, it sucks the energy out of me when I'm constantly looking and comparing.
Yes.
So I'm looking at people and then comparing myself in whatever way. I mean, you know, goofiest ways. I'm looking at, you know, whether it's marketing or whether it's, you know, like adverts and stuff or even cars or, you know, everything around me. Everything is, it's the judgment system that just sucks so much energy.
It just we're so conditioned that it draws us into that dualistic world. So I like that, I don't like that. That's beautiful, that's ugly, I want to, I don't want to, I should, I shouldn't. It's just constant.
And then then stuff that I used to think was so benign, like people watching, for example. You know, just sitting at a cafe or whatever and just watching people just seems so detrimental now.
And not benign at all.
Absolutely. And even keeping, like, even, you know, kind of turning away from advertising, which is tough sometimes, but just, you know, keeping, and I know you've spoken so much about, you know, attention and awareness, and in the past I've kind of just listened to it and rolled my eyes or whatever. not in a bad, I mean, just, you know,
yeah,
it's really,
sure, whatever,
you know, but yeah. Really the profundity of just doing, you know, making a simple change like that for me has been really helpful.
Well, just when you say that, what occurs to me is that it gives us our lives back for ourselves. Because we're so conditioned to focus outward and then not to realize that we are victims to everything that comes into our sphere because of the depth of the conditioning that we have. So to practice custody of the eyes, to keep the attention focused inward, suddenly you get to be the star of your own show. You get to be the key player. And that's not in an egocentric way. In fact, quite the opposite. When we don't have any say over our attention and awareness, we are doomed to live in the world of egocentric karmic conditioning. When we bring attention back to awareness, now we've moved into the land of potential freedom.
And I'll tell you, just like the previous caller, there was just so much resistance to it.
Yeah.
Like I walked to work in rush hour, and you know, keeping my eyes down or just, you know, conditioning just kept telling me that, you know, I look foolish, not making eye contact with people.
Yeah.
So the resistance to that has been, I'm getting through it, and I'm committed to it because I see the benefit. But conditioning has just so much to say about how peculiar or how awkward I look, or
yes,
people perceive me, right?
Yes, and when we catch on, as with the previous caller, that the reason for all that resistance is that's how conditioning is keeping us in bondage. So if it can maintain control over your attention, getting you to look at this and that and this and that, what it's able to do is reinforce that unconscious life in egocentric karmic conditioning. When you withdraw your attention from it then and bring it back to yourself, it's in danger of losing control of its energy source. So, yeah, it's going to have a lot to say. And, of course, what we know from our own experience is it doesn't care a fig if you look foolish. In fact, it loves it when you look foolish because that's a huge...
it's opening for it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge energy spurt for it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sherry, and again, just thanks to all the mugs and all the other participants as well. I just had such a great time, and everybody in the group, they'll know who they are. They're just so helpful, and
people
so,
are gorgeous,
so,
aren't they?
Yeah, just so grateful.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just so grateful, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
well, thank you for calling and letting us and them know that. That's great.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Justin. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob Cohen.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Sherry, Michael.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, it seems like there's a theme tonight because I called in to talk about resistance.
Uh-huh.
I've been looking at resistance, and I want to check out a few things and see if see if what I'm seeing is sounds about right. One of the things I was looking at yesterday, because I was actually having a fair amount of success against conditioning around resistance, and when I was looking at it today, what seems to be true is that there always seems to be resistance around things that support my heart and that bring me joy.
Uh-huh. My experience as well.
Yeah, and so what I found really helpful recently is setting intentions around what, you know, what I want to do, writing them down, you know, posting them, recording and listening around it so that when conditioning comes in and says, well, do you really want to exercise? Do you really want to, don't you want to eat this thing instead? That kind of stuff. That that there's just more, it's easier to get back to not be in that conversation, but instead be looking to, you know, so what, you know, what actually was my intention around this?
Uh-huh. So the language itself, because you're setting intentions, because you're recording and listening, if it starts talking to you about those subjects, there's a chance that we'll go, now wait a minute, I have something else going about that. What was it?
Yeah. And the really nice thing I've found around it is that like I don't see, I mean maybe it will at some point, but I don't see the process of resistance going away. You know, like whatever conditioning is doing to trying to draw me into whatever it wants me to do. But it does seem like the more I'm bringing awareness to it, you know, to different pieces of it, that I keep just catch on sooner, and I don't live from resistance for as long a time as I once did.
Yeah, and you know, just when you say that, the funny thing about it for me, see if this is a turning point for you as well. For a while, resistance seems like, I'll talk about me, like it seemed like it took care of me. So, you know, exercise. So I get up in the morning and conditioning says, you know, I don't want to exercise. I don't feel like I'm tired. I, you know, whatever it is. And if I'm not aware of what's going on, it feels like that voice is me and is on my side and taking care of me. But if I've watched it long enough to realize that, no, what I want for myself is to be healthy, to be fit. I want to feel good, and part of that, along with eating right and all those other things, is exercising. So my choice from my heart is to exercise. Then when that voice starts in of, oh, I don't want to, I don't feel, I know that's karmic conditioning and not me speaking from authenticity.
Yeah, definitely, you know, because I think both the What You Practice retreat and recording and listening practice have really started to make that sink in for me that is not me, you know, that whatever is bringing up resistance is not me.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it much easier to then say, okay, so then what do I want? And if I've already, you know, from a place of center looked at that, it's much easier to get to and to move away, you know, move my attention essentially away from conditioning and back to, you know, what supports me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a funny thing, or sad, or whatever, that we can buy into that thing that we choose, that it's choosing ourselves to choose things that don't make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you say, the resistance to anything that is for your heart or that brings you joy, and that we can get duped into believing that things that make us unhappy are good for us or taking care of us, or that's who we authentically are. That's what we want. It's such a strange thing to fall for.
Yeah. And the thing, I had this day yesterday where it both sort of illustrated the process, and it made me see like how far I've come along in seeing it and dealing with it. Where, you know, like, I knew when I woke up that my day was just going to be jam-packed. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I would have easily have made the choice, okay, well, just get, you know, just toss aside all the things that I've now committed to, like meditation, to exercise, to eating well, and just do the thing that's on my to-do list.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I believed that for years. And yesterday, you know, it's like, woke up, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's like I was in that place of, like, I wasn't, you know, like, conditioning was really coming at me, and all I could come up with is, I don't know what the right thing to do is. But because from a place of center, And because of the recording listening practice, I had already set my intentions. It was much easier to say, okay, well, I don't know, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take and do the next thing on my schedule.
Uh-huh. And the next thing on my schedule happens to be meditation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then exercise, and then working some, and then taking a break when I'm told I shouldn't be taking a break. And it's just, I don't know, it just, there's something about it that just to, like, have that experience over and over again, that making the choice, you know, based on my heart and what supports me actually leads to, it doesn't lead to anything that conditioning tells me it was going to.
Right.
And it makes it so much easier. I guess what it is it makes it possible to live joyfully more often when I'm doing that, and attend to all these things that conditioning tells me I'm not going to be able to do because I've made all these other choices.
Yeah. 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 And I too have watched that. And the, you know, to get to the end of the day and I got through everything on my work list, which of course I didn't, but at least for today. And the feeling is of being completely unfulfilled because I was left out of the equation. It's like, you know, somebody is going to take you out for your birthday, and they've got this whole day arranged, and it has nothing to do with who you are or what you like or what you want to do. They've just done what they wanted to do all day long and said it was for you. And that's that feeling of being driven by conditioning through a to-do list. You know, so I get talked into it and believe it and buy it and all of that. But at the end, I don't have that feeling that, that I'm promised of, oh, this feels great, I got so much done. No, I just feel kind of used. And yet, if I take care of myself and keep my commitments, I often find that I get as much, if not more, done. And at the end of the day, I feel great.
Yeah, that's my experience, too. And for those times where I don't get all the things that, you know, that are on my list to do, you know, what I find out is that there isn't the consequences that conditioning tells me there is.
Right. Yeah. Nobody died.
Nobody died. Nobody hates me, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry.
Well, that's incredibly helpful. And thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Trish Ruxburg Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about, opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I'm Michael and Sherry.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and just sort of nervous, as usual, when I call in, and I wanted to call in especially because the last time I called in, I got such a beating about how, just about whatever, how dumb I sounded and how I get so identified. And so I just said, you know what, I got to call. I got to call again.
We can't put up with that kind of thing.
No. And just wanted to say how helpful the archives are. Just, I listen to them several times a day and just always get something great out of them, and just really appreciate, you know, that's available to us.
Yeah, it's really fun, isn't it? Because, of course, a huge part of what our practice is group discussions, because it's being with one another and realizing that we're all pretty much identical, and all of that stuff that conditioned mind is throwing at us all the time is like a script. You know, just about everybody is listening to some version of that at any given moment. And so we hear that. We hear other people struggling with what we struggle with, and we hear insights and all kinds of things. So being together as a Sangha is a huge part of our practice. And then there are people out in the world who don't really have access to groups who are doing that, or don't have access to that very often. And so there's the radio show, and it's just kind of like an hour-long discussion group.
Yes, and also I really appreciate that as a monthly donor, I have access to some group recordings from the monastery, and I just really love that. I feel like just sort of privileged, you know, to get to listen to that. And
well, that's true. I forgot about that. So monthly donors to the monastery, or I guess to Living Compassion, you get tapes or podcasts of like the Sunday morning groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And in fact, something particularly, you know, that struck me was someone was talking about when you make a commitment, how it's not just about doing or not doing what you committed to, but it like shines a spotlight on, you just know conditioning is going to resist it and going to try everything to stop you.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a double win, you know, either way. You,
right.
If you're staying awake and aware, you're gonna learn something, and you know, likely, well, like in my case, I'm committed to walking every day a couple weeks ago, and it's just so interesting how, you know, such resistance, and then just shining that light on there, you know, and saying, wait a minute, I've never gone on a walk that I've regretted, and
right.
I want to be fit. I don't like being overweight. I, you know, all these things, and it's just been great. It's so fun to hear, you know, other people talk about commitments and whatever the content is. It's so cool that we all, you know, can share that.
So the point that you're making is a really important one. So I make a commitment to something, and right then I cannot lose, because if I keep my commitment, yay, you know, I'm going to walk every day. Good, I'm walking every day. Excellent, getting healthier every day. If I don't walk, then I get to see what conditioning did to talk me out of doing that. So either way, I'm getting more fit, I'm becoming more aware. And of course, what conditioning uses against people is, I make a commitment to walk every day, I miss a day, and then it just launches into what a bad person, what a loser, what a whatever it is. So if I just go unconscious and take the beating, then there, that's a familiar story. But if I stay awake and watch how it talks me out of walking so that it can beat me up, I'm way ahead of the game.
Right, and it's just more inspiration to do it. You know, and also the recordings have really helped with this, you know, especially with the commitments, like just exactly what you were talking about earlier, about it was such a, like a shift in realizing the stories about I'm too tired or this and that. That's not me. You know, that is not me. That's not from my heart. That's not what I really want.
Right.
And so it's just so cool. Something that also really struck me and just been with me so strong is that our thoughts are just like clouds, you know, passing by.
Uh-huh.
And so even those, all those really strong stories that's, you know, taking care of me, it's like, no, just go by. You know, I know that's not really me.
Right. So we always do this, you know, this little thing because it's really true and it really is true. If this were your best friend, your sister, your mother, your father, your whomever, who said to you, you know, I really want to walk every day because I feel like my fitness is failing and I know it would be really good for me, would you walk with me?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you would say, absolutely, and you'd go through anything to show up for them, right?
Yeah.
And so when there's no way you would say, oh, no, don't go today. You look tired. Why don't you have a pizza and a six-pack of beer? That'll help you out. You know, it's ridiculous. There's no way we would do that with somebody we really love. And so to bring that back to ourselves and be able to know that, no, I love this human. I've been given this human to take care of in this lifetime, and I'm gonna do that. So let's go. We're walking.
Yeah, and then now it's, you know, it just builds that trust too. That because I did abandon or whoever, I felt abandoned by myself for so many years, and so now that I'm not, it just, you know, it's just so great how it builds on itself, like that trust and that relationship with the mentor, and just. So thankful for the practice.
Yeah. So as a friend of mine says, you know, Gusho is my heart and your heart are one. And she always talks about living in Gusho, you know, living in that place of our hearts are one. And that's what it's like to me when that relationship of trust and kindness and compassion and support for the human that we call I or me, when that's established, then we really are living in Gusho.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks, Michael. And
I'm
excited about the Sangha-wide participation game. That sounds great.
I know. As soon as the show is over, I'm going on the website and finding
me too.
All the, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
Janet.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going really well. This is so interesting. It's like I call a lot, and I got really nervous tonight.
Ah.
I'm sitting here going, wow, I'm getting really nervous to get on the call. So that was really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't it fun when being nervous about something is just interesting?
Yeah, it's just interesting. It's a sensation.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there's something wrong or something awful is going to happen. It's just, that's interesting.
I
don't feel that.
I know. And conditioning was trying to come in and say, well, is it about the content, what you're going to talk about? And, you know, it just kept coming in trying to figure out the reason why. And then I would just kind of let that go, too.
Right. It's like, oh, God, I really don't want to go there. I'm so not in the so mood. Well, I really wanted to talk. I was just so full of gratitude for the practice tonight. We had group here tonight, and then I was writing in about group, and I was just writing in about the practice, and I was writing in about everything, and I was just filled with so much love and thankfulness. And I have a really close friend who's dying right now, and she and I we grew up together, and we're 2 days apart, you know, when we were born. She's actually 2 days older than me, and she's one of those friends that, you know, you don't have to see for a long time, and then when you see them, you know, you just know them.
Yeah, yeah.
We just know each other. We have been around together before. Yeah. And
pick up the conversation where you left it off the last time you were together.
Yeah, yeah. And what? And she doesn't live near me, so I've actually gone to say goodbye to her. I've traveled to say goodbye because she is literally going to die within the next few months at, you know, what they're looking at. And she is just so beautiful. She's so beautiful in her transition and her dying, you know, just as she was in life. And I'm learning so much from her, and I'm just getting so much love from her. And what she's doing is that she's not resisting life. There is no resistance, but it's not like, okay, well, I'm just gonna die. It's like, no, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling this, but I'm here. This is it. This is what's happening. This is my life
right now. And it sounds like she brought a great deal of that to her life before this day.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Cause I don't think you can just drop into it.
Right. People idealize that, and conditioning would have us believe that we can. You know, we'll just resist and be upset and in that conversation and negative, and then when we find out we're dying, then we'll be open-hearted and loving and kind of Mother Teresa slash.
Yeah, no. No, and I just feel so privileged to be part of her life and part of what's happening, and to be getting the love that she is. And I was thinking about her, and then I was thinking about practice, and then I was thinking about calling. And I said, you know, I just want to put it all together. I want to bring her into my practice, into my love, into, you know, to you, to the Sangha. I just want to, just going to cry, but I just want to put her in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like she already is.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she actually knows that.
She does.
Yeah.
She does, and it's just, and I'm just so thankful that I am where I am so that I can be there in the way I'm there for all of it.
Yes.
That I'm not missing it.
Yes, because that's not a given, is it? She probably, in fact, has people in her life who are not having the experience that she's having at all.
She does, yes. Yeah. So I'm, it's just, you know, it doesn't sound weird. I mean, it doesn't sound weird to say it right now, but sometimes to some people it sounds really weird. Like, you know, her dying is just so beautiful. She's just so beautiful.
Yes, and wouldn't we all wish that our lives could be that kind of gift, that expression of love?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And right through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the way, of course, for us to practice that is to practice that now, right? Which is another thing it sounds like she's
modeled beautifully. If you want to die beautifully, it's the critical piece of that is living beautifully.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Modeled beautifully. And, yeah. So thank you so much for being there so I could just call and put everything I love together. You know?
Yeah.
I just wanted to put her in the middle of it and bring you to her.
And her to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. I'll see you soon.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us, Janet. You've been listening to Open Air. Sherry, a very beautiful show.
Yeah, gosh. It's a very hard opening, isn't it?
Incredibly so. Incredibly so. And I have a last-minute news bulletin here that we have some more information about the Sangha-wide participation game.
What happened?
Let's hear from Jen. Jen, are you there?
I am. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
First, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Andrea, Justin, Bob, Chris, and Janet, because they all just earned us 3 points in our participation game. How fun is that? And I asked Michael to make me live again at the end of the show because I left out, I think, the best part about the next couple weeks. So I mentioned that the featured promotion is making a pledge towards the participation points. And so our goal as a Sangha is to have 150 pledges made in the next 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And if we make that, we get 500 bonus points.
Whoa!
I know. How fun is that? But that's not even the best part. Here's the best part. Everyone who makes a pledge in the next 2 weeks gets entered in a drawing to have an individual guidance appointment with Sherry Huber. How fun is that, Michael?
Wow.
I know Sherry can't speak.
I'm going to make a pledge.
But Sherry can't speak to that one, but Michael can.
I'll make a pledge.
I mean, all kidding aside, that's a very generous gift that the guide is putting forward for us because, you know, it's not very often that we get to have a one-on-one kind of a opportunity like that. So that's really, really huge. So everyone who makes a pledge in the next 2 weeks will be entered in. There'll be 3 guidance appointments that we're giving away. So
wow.
Very exciting.
3 guidance appointments. So everybody who enters in the next 2 weeks, I get a chance to talk with 3 of them.
That's right.
Very fun. Thank
very
you.
Very fun. Yep.
All right.
Thanks for making me live, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.